something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets. But how can I contain the truth I hold inside? All the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hey guys, welcome back. You are listening to the True Stream Oasis podcast. TrueStream Oasis is part of the Revelations Radio Network. You can find TrueStream at truestream.podomatic.com, and you can find the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. I am your host, Amos Ridley, and I am happy to be back with you guys today to hang out for a little while, trying to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness and also give you some light, the light of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ our Lord. Many of you guys out there who have been listening to the podcast and have listened all the way through the progression of them know that I do expose conspiracies here, but I try to do it wisely. I try to give you a look at it, at what's behind the occultic curtain, but not take you so deep that it just plunges you into darkness and disillusionment, because that's not going to do any of us any good. And I definitely don't want to use it as an entertainment tool, you know, to let's just talk about the conspiracies because this is so interesting, you know. We don't want to do that. This is serious business, and you know, God is watching, and you know, he wants us to take this seriously. You know, these are the last days. We're talking about people's souls and hearts and minds. And so, you know, as it's a great responsibility. You know, we don't want to. There's an old Bonnie Raitt song that says, you know, let's give them something to talk about. You know, a little mystery to figure out. You know, that's what's going on here. You know, they're just, it's Babylon. And they're giving a lot of people something to talk about, and they're giving them a lot of mysteries to figure out. So we need to be very wise about this. We need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That means we need to have enough wisdom to match or surpass the serpent's cunning. So that's what we're trying to do here, you know. I'm really, really just trying to just chew into this. Figure out what's going on, because our Lord said to not to let any man deceive us in any way, to be on guard and to watch. And how do we do that? We read the Bible. You know, we read the Bible and we chew on it and we let it get into our spirits and we let that harvest of discernment come out. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the conspiracies. I know this has been done before. We're going to talk about a quote by Albert Pike. It was in a letter that was sent to Giuseppe Mazzini, who was the leader of the Illuminati in Italy. It's the famous quote that was in the letter from Pike to Mazzini, dated August 15th, 1871. But I was thinking about this quote, and I just want to bring something out of it. I want to go through it and actually use the Webster's Dictionary to define some of these words and maybe bring something out of it that might not have been brought out of it before. I normally like to focus on the Word of God, and we're going to start out with a couple of scriptures to keep ourselves focused. And, you know, the only reason I'm doing this is because it's kind of like going into the enemy camp and seeing what their war plan is, you know, because Satan is crafty. He's coming after us. He's trying to deceive people. So we're just going to shine a light on it and say, you know, this is their mentality. This is where they're coming from. This is what they're trying to do. And then we're going to match that foundational plan that Albert Pike set up to what's going on today, and we're gonna pull out of this why the conspiracies are coming out into the open, because so many people out there are thinking, you know, they're falling into the trap. They're like, we're so smart. Look at this. We're figuring out their plan. And that's actually part of the plan. They went a little bit deeper, guys. You know, that's part of the plan, is to lead people in with the breadcrumb trail, you know, making people think they're so intelligent and they're so wise that they're figuring it out, and they're drawing you into the trap. They're drawing you in to destroy you, to destroy your faith, and to destroy, faith in anything. They're trying to break your trust. And I want to sound the alarm on this. I want to blow the trumpet. And I want to show you from the Word of God why He says to not get into the conspiracies. So we're gonna just start out right away. I'm going to read Psalm 64. I've been spending a lot of time in the Psalms because they're very comforting, and because they got a lot of great information in there that pertains to a lot of the things we've been talking about. Psalm 64, I've read it before, but we'll go through it again. It's basically about what I think is going on now. And it's something that I've been reading a lot this year. It's Psalm 64. Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. From that noisy crowd of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares, about hiding them. They say, who will see them? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning. But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. All mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what He has done. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in Him. Let all the upright in heart praise Him. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And focus on this psalm, because for those of you that have been into these conspiracies, listening to various podcasts talking about what's going on behind the wicked curtain, a lot of you guys have emailed me and, you know, have said you're feeling oppressed and in darkness. You know, that's what it does. You know, that's why David was saying, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. You know, it's all about their speech. You know, that's why you'll see them copping a bunch of, you know, sound bites and, you know, aiming them at us through the media. And, you know, Christians pick up on it. We get their little subtle blasphemies, and we know what they're talking about. We know what they're doing. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear, and they encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares and thinking nobody will see them. They think they've devised a perfect plan. This is a great psalm to read and realize that in the end, God wins. And it's not just about winning. He's going to destroy the wicked. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. Spend some time in Psalm 64 and meditate on that. This is another section that God's been pressing on me. This is Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 11. Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 11. This was the thing that this was the section of scripture that really just pressed on me about, you know, conspiracy. It was like the first time I read it, you know, it really, God really pressed it on me, and He's been, you know, bringing it to my mind over and over and over again, and this is important. So open your ears and let this in, because this is God speaking to His people. I mean, we have to deal with this. We have to say, what does this mean? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it." And there you have it. We're gonna move on, because we're going to read a few more verses, but I want to stop there for a second, because we really need to listen to this. This is coming from the Lord, and he's telling us not to call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy, and not to fear what they fear, not to fear the beast. You know, when we talk about these conspiracies, we're like, you know, look what's going on. Look what they're doing. This is crazy. They're getting all kinds of control. They got the microchip mark of the beast system in place, and they have all these laws and, you know, Homeland Security and yada, yada, and on and on and on. You're kind of like, it's kind of like a subtle form of worship, you know, because God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if Satan's the great counterfeiter, don't think for a minute that that doesn't feed to him. That's like worshiping Satan when you fear him, you know, and they feed off of that. That's how they get people to just fall in line and do whatever. And I'm not talking about rebellion, but, you know, that's basically how they keep everybody in a little box doing what they're doing, is through fear. You know, so if we keep building up the beast system and just putting all this information out there, you know, and getting everybody, you know, in fear, you know, and I know a lot of us are doing it to try to show people, look what's going on. You're in an illusion. And I do understand that. But we can't keep pounding people with it to the point where they're in fear, or we're actually helping Satan do what he wants. And that is to get people in a box of fear so that they'll submit to Satan's way. So, you know, it says that all the world wondered in amazement after the beast. Who is like the beast? Who is like the beast? Who can make war against the beast? You know, and that's in a negative context, you know. We can't get into that. You know, we've got to exalt the Lord and magnify the Lord and magnify him as if, you know, putting a magnifying glass over him, you know, and just magnifying his name. He's great. He's holy. The Lord is on his throne. The Lord is our light and salvation. You know, he is the one to fear. Listen to the next verse, Isaiah 8:13. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. That sounds a lot like the sealing of the 144,000, or just being sealed with the precious Holy Spirit. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Do you see that? We're to fear the Lord. He is the one we are to dread. We're not to dread this system or to fear this system. And I know that temptation's there. In my flesh, I feel it as well. But I'm just proclaiming the truth that we've all got to listen to. It's the right way. We're to fear the Lord and to dread the Lord only. And it says that he will be a stone that causes men to stumble. What is that stone? If you go to Romans chapter 9, Paul talks about that right along verse 30. He says that they went about to establish their own righteousness. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They went about to establish their own righteousness, because in Romans chapter 1, he sets up the whole dissertation for the book of Romans, what he's trying to explain. He says, but God had his own type of righteousness, a righteousness that is through faith. Okay, we could actually do a podcast on that, talking about the stumbling stone, and maybe we'll do that in the future. But I just wanted to go over this before we delve into this Albert Pike letter that he wrote to Mazzini, and just give you a background. You know, the Lord saying, don't call everything conspiracy, man, because you're going to think, you know, once you get into conspiracies, your trust gets destroyed. And then you're looking around and you don't know what to believe, because you just don't trust anything. You're just looking around and you're saying, can I believe that? I believed this other thing for years and years and years. And look what happened, you know. They pulled a little bit of the wicked curtain back, that occultic curtain, and I got to peer into the darkness, and look what was going on, you know, and it destroys your trust, and that's what they want. They want to do that. So we're going to jump right into this quote by Albert Pike, who was, you know, a grand master of the ancient Scottish rite of the Illuminati, and it was dated August 15th, 1871. 1871. Now, I want to point out here that Albert Pike's not a prophet. He wasn't predicting what was going to happen. He was setting up a plan that they were going to work. They were going to make this happen. They were going to foment it. That means they were working a plan. So it wasn't like he peered into the future, looked down the corridors of time, and said, this is what's going to happen. Because if you read the writing, he starts out saying, we shall unleash. We will provoke. This is a plan. This is what he was laying down. He was laying down a foundation for their plan in this letter. And it says, and I'm going to read all the way through it, and then we're going to break it down with some definitions. I'm going to make it real simple, and then I'm just going to let you guys chew on it after what we've talked about with the conspiracies. And hopefully at the end of it, you're going to understand, wow, this is why they're doing this. They took the minority of people who got into the conspiracies, they used them as an army to bring it out, then they brought it out mainstream, and it was all part of the plan, and we're all going to sit around and smack ourselves and say, what the heck were we doing? We didn't deal with it right. We brought it right out. We helped them. And they're you know, God help us if they're just sitting there laughing at us, because this is something that I've thought long and hard about. And I welcome your feedback. If I'm wrong, if, you know, I welcome the feedback, but I just want to put it out there and let you guys chew on it and just think about it. It's just some food for thought. I fell into the conspiracies hard, so I'm no different than anybody else, but this is just something that God's been laying on my heart, and I want to share it with you. Okay. Yeah, this letter was dated August 15th, 1871. It was Albert Pike writing to Giuseppe Mazzini. It says, we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then, everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass, without moral compass, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the pure light through the universal manifestation. They will receive the pure light through the universal manifestation, which will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. And so another part of this letter was discovered in 1949, which graphically outlined the plans for three world wars and at least two revolutions. The first world war was to enable communistic atheism to destroy the czarist government in Russia, and that was accomplished. The second world war was to begin by pitting Great Britain against Germany in order to destroy Nazism and advance the cause of Zionism, Israel, so that Israel could become a nation, and this was accomplished. After the war, communism was to be made strong enough to begin taking over weaker governments, which they did. In 1945, at the Potsdam Conference between Truman, Churchill, and Stalin, Russia was given a chunk of Europe, and that helped to sweep the tide of communism into China. The plan also called for a third world war, which was to be ignited by firing up the aggression between the Zionists, Israel, and the Arab world, the Muslims, who were supposed to destroy each other, bringing the rest of the world into a final conflict. And that conflict would be engineered to produce complete social, political, and economic chaos, out of which will emerge an Illuminati-controlled world government. Now, this is their plans, okay? God's got another plan, so we don't know if it's going to go completely by their plan. Everybody always says, oh, the Illuminati's so powerful and whatever, okay? Whatever. But that's why we need to look in the Bible, because only the prophecies that are in the Bible are going to come true. But this is what they want to happen. This is what they're hoping for. But let's go through and let's dig into this quote that Albert Pike wrote to Mazzini, because there's a lot in here. And, you know, Jesus said, out of the heart, you know, out of the mouth comes what's in the heart. So if you just listen to what somebody's saying, they're pretty much revealing, you know, what they're going to do. And sometimes you just blow over the words, but if you really dig in and pay attention, you can see it. It says that they shall unleash the nihilists. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it doesn't matter, and you know what I'm talking about, and the atheists. Now, we know that, how are they unleashing this? They're unleashing them through the colleges. You know, a lot of these professors, you know, are teaching people that they're just organisms in a grand system. It's just evolution. Love's a chemical reaction. Everything's just science. It's just desolation. You know, there's no reason to believe in anything. There's no reason to have any moral values. Nothing. It's just science. You know, I've had conversations with people that, you know, that I work with that are going to college, and they're just sitting there thinking they're so educated. You can't tell them anything because they're the one that's got the degree there. They're supposed to be educated. And they're just telling me, you know, I'm just going to live my life because I'm going to go back. It's the law of entropy. You know, I'm just going to go back into the universe as matter. You know, and, you know, it doesn't matter because I'm going back to matter. You know, so, and they're atheists. So they're being unleashed on the world. A great many people with no moral values, no compass or anything. They really don't have any reason to not do anything because they don't have anything to believe in. And they're unleashing them. And then it says, we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm. They're going to provoke it. Let's look at the definition of provoke. Okay, to provoke means to arouse to a feeling or action, to incite to anger, to stir up purposely. That's the part of the definition that stands out. They are going to stir up purposefully. Okay? A formidable social cataclysm. They're going to stir this up. Think about how they're doing that. Think about the conspiracies. Think about what they're using to stir up this formidable social cataclysm. What is a cataclysm? I have here a flood, deluge, catastrophe. It's interesting. I've used, you know, how the dragon opens his mouth and a flood comes out. I've used that analogy after 9/11. It's like this flood of conspiracies and lies are coming out. But the third definition actually says a momentous and violent event marked by overwhelming upheaval and demolition. An event that brings great changes. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to purposefully stir up an event that brings great changes. 2012, anybody? Are they setting things up? Could 2012 and all this hype about that tie into it? Something's definitely coming. Those that are on the side of wickedness are definitely preparing something, and it's got to go along with the scriptures where a great deception's coming. We're not going to point it out exactly yet because it's speculation, but something's coming. We can smell what's cooking in the kitchen. We're just not allowed to peek at it yet. Okay, so they're going to provoke that formidable social cataclysm. Now listen to this, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations. They don't want to tell you. They want you to be illuminated on your own. They don't want to sit down and say, look, this is what's wrong with the world. They want you to notice it on your own. They want you to come to the conclusion on your own. And they're manipulating the events behind the scenes so that you supposedly come to that realization on your own. That's what the revolutions are about. Revolutions is like an orbit. They cycle the events. They cycle us through these events in circles. History keeps repeating itself. And every time that revolution comes around, people supposedly get a little wiser. They're like, we're starting to realize war is not a good thing. We're starting to realize maybe religion's at the bottom of all this. Okay, so that's what they're doing, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations. It's like they're using the world as a big, you know, chalkboard. Like it's a class, except it's with real human beings as the props. It says, we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery. Let's look up that definition of savagery. It means an act of cruelty or violence. The second definition is an uncivilized state. An uncivilized state. So we're looking at that they're going to show clearly to the nations the origin of an uncivilized state. Maybe civilization breaking down, so it's just basically has to do with chaos. They're going to cause chaos. And of the most bloody turmoil, we look at turmoil. What does turmoil mean? A state or condition of extreme confusion, extreme agitation or commotion. So this all has to do with chaos, civilization breaking down, people in confusion, being agitated, a lot of commotion. Okay, that's what they're trying to cause to teach the lesson. All right, so we're just moving right along here. It says, end of the most bloody turmoil. So in all its horror, it will show clearly this cataclysm. In all its horror, will show clearly to the nations the most bloody turmoil. That state of extreme confusion. Okay, I think I'm getting confused in my podcast here. Okay, let's keep going on here. It says, then everywhere, the citizens, I imagine the citizens are the ones that they consider that are still in the matrix of the illusion, who are for the government. The citizens obliged, it's an obligation, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries. Okay, so the majority of people are going to feel like they're obligated to defend themselves against this minority of revolutionaries. Let's look at the word revolutionaries. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound like this time? Does it sound like the people that are getting into the truth movements and the conspiracies? The revolutionaries, and talking about revolutionaries, it says, revolution is the action by a celestial body of going around in an orbit or an elliptical course. It reminds me of that swirl symbol where you're just cycling around. It's that spiral, you know, that path to illumination that they told us about in National Treasure, that stairway, that spiral staircase that supposedly is the path to truth, where you're in a state of illumination at the top. They're taking us around these events and showing us clearly, using the world as a chalkboard or a live human lesson, you know, like a classroom, supposedly bringing us to this illumination. And it says, let's see here. It says, synonyms, see rebellion, okay? Revolution is a fundamental change in the way of thinking about or visualizing something, a change of paradigm. Okay, it says a fundamental change in political organization, a sudden radical or complete change, the overthrow or renunciation of one government or ruler and the substitution of another by the governed. Doesn't that sound like they're breaking down the old order so that they can bring in this new world order? They got to change the old way of things, okay? and they're actually using the revolutionaries to get the message of the conspiracies out to break down the old order. See, this just goes deep, and it's confusing because it's like a catch-22. You know, you want, they're doing these things and you want to expose it, but in exposing it, you're actually helping them tear it down. So it's like, what do we do? This is something we have to think about. This is something that we need to pray to the Lord about. What do we do? You know, we don't want to be helping the beast at all. And that's why I think we got to focus on the Word of God. We just got to not call conspiracy what everybody calls conspiracy and go along. Don't follow the way of this people, the Bible says. We're to fear the Lord. We got to focus on the Word of God. This is the only way through it. The only way through it is to focus on the Word of God and to focus on what the Bible is telling us about the world. The, you know, getting caught up in Babylon's news sources and stuff, if you do that, you're inevitably falling into it because you got to think they're releasing this knowing what you're going to do. They know the psychology of man. We don't want to admit that, but they do. So let's get back on this, this quote. It says, "Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, which they are provoking." That's the formidable social cataclysm. They're provoking the revolutionaries to rise up. The Seeds of Rebellion, you guys that listen to Conspiracy Seeds of Rebellion podcast, you'll start to put all these pieces together with this quote. It says, "We'll exterminate those destroyers of civilization." I guess he's talking about destroying the revolutionaries. "And the multitude," after all this is done, "the multitude will be disillusioned," and it says, "and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity." Disillusioned with Christianity, that's their goal, is for people to be disillusioned with Christianity. Why do you think Satan is fomenting all these crazy preachers rising up like, you know, Todd Bentley? With, you know, and the world's just looking at him, you know, he's telling people he's, you know, God told him to put a boot in some lady's face to heal her, you know, all this crazy stuff. You know, that's why he's fomenting this and then allowing, you know, through the system, they're the ones that get on television. They're the ones that get the mainstream attention because the purpose is to have a polluted religion, get a lot of attention so everybody can just say, you know what, Christianity's crazy. I don't want a part of that. It's the whole thing that has to do with counterfeit, pollute, and expose. Satan's MO. They're disillusioned. This is the goal, to disillusion people with Christianity. Disillusionment means disappointed, dissatisfied. Disappointed and dissatisfied. So that's what they're trying to provoke, is that people will be disappointed and dissatisfied with Christianity. Okay. It says, "Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude disillusioned or disappointed or dissatisfied with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass." What does deistic mean? Deistic means of movement or system of thought advocating natural religion, emphasizing morality, and in the 18th century denying the interference of the Creator with the laws of the universe. But it's basically those who emphasize morality, a system of thought having to do with religion. It means they're basically people who are basically lean towards religion and morality. The people out there who have the propensity to be religious or to seek out God, those are the people that are targeted to be disillusioned with Christianity. And those deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass. What does compass mean? Compass means direction. For example, moral compass, direction. And guidance or supervision of action or conduct. Assistance in pointing out the proper route. Okay? So they're basically not going to know which way to go because they're disillusioned. Everything they believed in, they're thinking is a lie. and they have no moral compass, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't have any direction. And this is the goal. It says they'll be anxious for an ideal to follow, but without knowing where to render their adoration, because they're disillusioned and dissatisfied with Christianity. It says at that time they will receive the pure light. What they're saying is the pure light. It makes me sick to even say that, because Lucifer's light is not pure light, but that's what they're saying it is. They will receive the pure light through the universal manifestation. Is that what's coming in 2012? I don't know. Just a question. Will receive the pure light through the universal manifestation, which will result from the general reactionary movement. This is, they're understanding how the people are going to react. And they're saying, in light of all this, this is how the people are going to react. And they're going to receive this pure light through the universal manifestation, which will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Could that be that white horse that goes out to conquer? I don't know. We do know that God is on his throne and he's got a plan. So we need to look at this in the light that this is their plan. And we need to balance it with the Bible, which is going to happen. Okay? You have to look at this. Pike said this on July 14th, 1889. This is what this man is about. He issued this statement to the 24 Supreme Councils of the world who were meeting in Paris. That which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God one adores without superstition. He said, to you, Sovereign Grand Inspectors General, 33rd Degree Masons, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30 degrees. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. It says, if Lucifer were, he said this, and Lord forgive me for this even passing on my tongue, but it says, if Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, or Adonai, Hebrew word for Lord, which refers to Jehovah, the God of Israel, which they avoided using, whose deeds prove, if Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, whose deeds prove his cruelty, how blasphemous, perfidy and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is G-O-D, and unfortunately Adonai is also God. For the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness. And while you're hearing this, don't let this plant seeds of doubt, okay? This guy is purely Luciferian, and we know who God is. Woe to those who put good for evil and evil for good, those who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. That's what's happening. The Lord told us it was going to happen. He's going on saying basically darkness, you know, is necessary to light. So he's sitting here basically saying that Lucifer and God are equals, but that Lucifer is good, and I'm not even going to say the rest of it. You can think. I just don't even let that. I don't even like that passing through my mouth. But this is this guy's philosophy. And you know what? These guys can choose who they want to worship. Nobody's telling them not to. We can give the gospel to them. You know, we can't force it on anybody. They can worship who they want, but you just have to understand the mentality, you know? So this is what they're trying to do. So my point to bring this full circle is, in the light of what this guy wrote, don't you see why they're bringing the conspiracies out? It's all about disillusionment. That's why I founded this podcast, you know, to vaccinate people, to give you a look at what's behind the curtain, but not like a light form of the disease, so you're vaccinated against it, but not plunging you in where you die from the darkness and fall into the pit. That's why we can't be teaching people these symbols and everything. We're literally infecting people with the mentality. It's like in the road to understand it, you're actually being injected with the disease, and you can't make it go away because you let it in. This is serious business. It's something I woke up to, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, we can't be going on and on and on. Oh, they believe this, they believe this, and to figure out this, it's that. We're teaching people divination, omen reading, all these symbols and stuff. We can't be doing this. we can't be doing this. And who cares about, you know, what's going on in the darkness? You know, I don't want to know all that stuff. I know enough to know that they're wicked. And I want to keep my nose in the Bible, because that stuff just really oppressed me. And guys, I've gotten letters from you guys. There are a few of you guys that wrote me, you're like, what's going on? I just feel so oppressed. I feel like I'm in darkness. It's because you're listening to stuff that is focused totally on the conspiracies. I'm telling you, I pray that the Lord opened your eyes to this. I just have to tell the truth. The Lord has laid this on my heart. And, you know, I guess maybe there's some people out there saying, what are you doing, Amos? You turning around and becoming a Big Mac chomping, illusion loving, New World Order marching person? No. No, I'm not. And you know I'm not. But there's a danger in this. And there's a balance. We are to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness, but we're not supposed to indoctrinate people with it. You know? It does say, we say, we expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Okay? But what does the verse really say? It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. But I think in exposing them, we've broken the first part of the verse. We've had a lot to do with it. Exposing it is like, you know, you can stick your hand in the room and turn the light on. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go walking in there and dance around it and say, let's call this entertainment. Because you know what? It's like crack. You get addicted to it. It's like that song by Bonnie Raitt. Let's give them something to talk about. A little mystery to figure out. The mystery machine. Scooby-Dooby-Doo. The mystery machine. Everybody loves a mystery. Everybody loves a mystery. A master of intrigue will arise. Intrigue is curiosity. Curiosity killed the cat. Okay? He plays on your ego that you're smart, you're figuring it out. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's that fruit. It looks good. You're looking at it and you're saying, oh, it's one, to make one wise. I'll be so wise, I'll understand what they're doing. And then Satan will say, yeah, go ahead and sit there and believe that you're figuring this out and that you won't be a part of it. You need to know this or else I'm going to deceive you. He's twisted. He knows man's mentality and he plays on your curiosity, and he'll even play on your desire to do good to get you to fall into the pit. So, be that as it may, I'm gonna leave it there and let you guys think about this. I would really appreciate some feedback from you guys on what you think. Honestly, you know, write to me and let me know what you think about this. I'm tired of. I don't want to know everything that they know. I want to focus on the Lord, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. And I, you know, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I mean, a lot of you guys that have been listening to the podcast, and, you know, I know you know. We know enough. We know the world is dark. We know that now. And I don't know how many people who aren't Christians are listening to this podcast, but most of the listeners are Christians, at least the ones that have emailed me. I'm sure there's some unbelievers out there that unbelievers in Christ, you know, they don't believe in Christ. I'm sure they're out there and they're listening, and I'm trying to reach them too. We need a rescue. We need a rescuer. And we're going through dark times, but there's good news. We need to stop reading the bad news and focus on the good news. The good news is the gospel, that Jesus Christ came down here. It's like, okay, you know, I'm just telling you guys, it's like, okay, you know, now we know. Now we know that Christ was telling the truth when he said you guys are in bondage to your own desires. How did we get trapped into this system? We got trapped into it because of the desires of the flesh. We gave in. We gave in to the bait. We got into debt. Now we're trapped. It's just like ancient Israel, trapped in Egypt, financial debt and slavery, because we just had to have the toys, we had to have the conveniences, we gave into our flesh, we took the bait, now we're trapped. And the system is controlling us. We gave into it, you know? And we need to ask the Lord to save us. Christ told the truth. He is the truth. He didn't just tell the truth. He's standing there. He is the definition and the standard of truth. And he's the way. And the only way out is crucifying the flesh. To pick up your cross daily, to deny yourself, and to follow him. He is our example. He's not just a way to godhood. He is the way to peace. God is God. We're not God. Don't let anybody tell you that. We're the body. He's the head. And we have... He's got awesome things waiting for us, and we will rule and reign with him, but the key is with him. We're not going to be, you know, God. And there's big lies coming, and we need to be safe. And the only place we can stay safe is in the Word of God and truly understanding it through the Holy Spirit. So that's what I'm working for. Yeah, I repeat myself a lot, but you know what? It helps people. It helps make that imprint. You know, you get it over and over and over again, and it becomes a part of who you are, that truth. I'm not trying to lead anybody astray here. I'm just trying to get people to get in the Word of God and to trust Jesus Christ. Not just lip service, but really trust him, because we need him to get through this. We're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit for real, and we're going to need faith. When everything gets dark, you've got to believe, just like Job. He wasn't privy to the conversation between Satan and God. He didn't know what was going on, but he trusted the heart of God that in the midst of darkness, that God was working all things together for good. We've got to be like Paul the Apostle, who was in prison. And he said, I don't understand this, but I know that God is working this out for my deliverance. And as we are in prison to this system, we have to know that God is working it out for our deliverance, like Israel in the desert. They were going through hardships in the desert, but God was bringing them to the promised land. And we're in that day. So I put the call out there that in the last days that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified. He bore our sins on the cross, and he was resurrected, which is the proof and seal that what he said was the truth, because God raised him from the dead, gave him the victory to validate his message. If we don't have the resurrection, we have nothing. Why do you think they're rallying and trying to disprove the resurrection? Keep your faith. Don't be offended by those who use the name of Christianity and pervert the way of truth. Don't fall away. Don't fall away. Don't say, you know, I'm getting a bad taste in my mouth for Christianity, because it's coming. Many people are going to fall away. And I pray every day that I'm not one of them. I'm totally relying on the Lord that in that day he's going to keep me. Because, you know, I face fear too. So I just want to give you guys that encouragement that there's good news in the midst of this darkness. It's going to have to be the Lord being our light. Because the light that and hopes that we had in this world may be falling away. So that hope has to be rested in heaven, that even if everything's dark here, I'm really trusting that, you know, I'm trusting in the Lord, because he's the one who raises the dead. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Be comforted. They were pushed beyond, you know, far beyond their ability to endure. They felt the sentence of death, but this happened to them that they might not rely on themselves, but truly rely on God, who raises the dead. That's the blessed hope, is the resurrection. Okay? So I'm going to wind up this cast now. I want any of you guys out there, my hope is that you will call upon the name of the Lord in that time when he draws you. Don't hesitate. Today is the day of salvation. Now. Okay? Yeah, I'm going to wind this up. I'll give you my contact information. Of course, you can find the podcast at truestream.podomatic.com. And you can email me. I would appreciate some feedback from you guys on this. You can email me at epiphos@hotmail.com or epiphos@gmail.com. That's EPIPHOS. And we're still having a little bit of a difficult time here, guys. You know, I'm still struggling to keep this cast going. So if the Lord leads any of you guys to, you know, give a gift, I would really appreciate it as the Lord leads. If this podcast is helping you, please help me to keep it bringing it to you. It would be greatly appreciated. And I love you guys, and I'm praying for you. And I appreciate most of all that you would keep me in your prayers, because I really do need it. I really do. Going through a lot of distress lately. So, and a lot of you guys that have emailed me, I've emailed back, and I've explained the situation to you. So please keep me in prayer, okay? I love you guys. I truly do. I'm your host, Amos Ridley. And if I don't see you guys on this side, I surely and truly hope to see you guys on the other side.
Last time I saw myself, I barely caught a glimpse. 'Cause I was running in the wrong direction. And I recall as time went by, it didn't matter how hard I tried. I never ran with inspiration, no. But this problem's not my home. I want to be part of the solution. Can you use me to lead a revolution? Yeah. As it stands from what I see, everyone is drowning in their need, and nobody's got an answer. They need to see this tragedy for what it is and what it will be, that embraces our humanity. But this problem's not my home. I want to be part of the solution. Yeah.